I was in Walgreens yesterday. I don't need a prize for that. Thank you very much. And I was just walking around killing time, which is a kind of life that I have. I just walk around and kill time. That's pretty much my entire life story. Ron, what did you do during your lifetime? I walked around and killed time. Well, nice, nice. Glad you could help society. Yeah, you're welcome. So anyway, so I'm in Walgreens, and I'm in the As Seen on TV section, which I find fascinating because most of it is rip-off items. But they had this thing you put around your waist. It's got Velcro on it, and I guess it your little tummy area, you wear it around that, and then all of a sudden you look skinnier than you actually are because it puts your organs in all different places. It squeezes your liver and your bladder into your throat or something, so you look skinny. And I'm thinking, man, you know, maybe I will buy this, not so much for me, but I give it to my friends and tell them, instead of wearing it around your waist, why don't you put it around your mouth?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Around your mouth, I say.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
See, because then if you put it around your mouth, you wouldn't be able to talk.
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. That's what I call this thing. I was thinking of calling it the Becky LePew Show, but my name's not Becky LePew, so it didn't make much sense to me. However, if you would like me to be Becky LePew, fine. Can you imagine there's somebody probably somewhere in the United States named Becky LePew, and I've just insulted her greatly, and I don't even know it, and I don't even care, but there probably is a Becky LePew. Google her. Google her. I still get a kick out of this. I'm sorry. I'm just so immature. I still get a kick out of these staunch Republican 90-year-old senators standing in Congress on the floor of the House or something, and they actually say they're like the most mature people ever, and they actually say Google. It's just, that's what a baby says. I can't believe that this has been introduced into our verbiage, that a country of our wisdom and power, quote unquote, would actually walk around using this term Google, something that a baby uses when they're trying to reach for the rattle. I thought Google was something you said as spittle came out of the side of your mouth when you were like 2 months old. But grown people are using this word. And they also tweet things. My God, this is the sound that a pathetic little canary makes. Like Tweety Bird. I mean, we're grown adults and we're using these little stupid words in our regular vocabulary. We've turned them into verbs and nouns, and it's a very, just step back sometimes and take a look at what we do. It's weird stuff. Anyway, how are you? Good to see you. You're looking good today, by the way. Did you lose weight? If you ever want to praise somebody and make them feel good, I don't care if they weigh 700 pounds or whatever, all you have to do is say, did you lose weight? You'll be having sex within 3 minutes. I guarantee you, there is nobody on the face of the earth except for anorexics who love to hear that. And of course, if you're talking to an anorexic, or a bulimic kind of type person, you do the opposite. Hey, you're looking real good. Did you gain weight? So you do have to make a choice there. But otherwise, just use that. It just works on everybody. And you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. Try it tonight. Go to one of those cocktail lounge bar places that I hear so much about. and you know, if you're a guy, this works really well when you're trying to pick up a female type person. Go to one of those sexy, dimly lit cocktail lounges. These are the ones where outside there's a giant caricature of a martini glass with an olive in it. Those kinds of places, you know what I'm saying? Where the martini glass is on the face of the menu, those places. Go in there and walk up to any woman you want, any woman that you want, and do this. Hey, excuse me, I was standing on the other side of the cocktail lounge with the giant martini glass on the cover of the menu, and I couldn't help but notice you. I know we've never met before, and I've never seen you before. I'm not at the stalking stage yet. And I just want to tell you, I don't know how to say this.
Yes? What do you want to say?
Well, again, I don't know you. I've never seen you before, but my goodness, have you lost weight? It works every time, I guarantee you. It really does. I mean, that person will be yours within 2 seconds, especially if they're drunk. But it works. Now, it doesn't work so much on guys. If you're a female and you see an attractive guy, what are the chances of that? And you're in one of those cocktail lounges with the giant martini glass on the cover of the menu, and you're seeing a guy stand there, and you approach the guy. If you say to him, I don't know you, but my goodness, have you lost weight? Chances are he doesn't give a shit. That's not going to work for you. No, it doesn't work. You know how women pick up guys? They compliment their sweater. I swear it's true. You women think that if you compliment a guy's sweater, that this is like a turn on for him. He totally doesn't care what you think of his sweater. Now, if you're going to start saying nice things about his penis, which you're still not seeing, that might move him a little bit. But it's very hard to pick up a guy, because by the time you open your mouth, he's all over you anyway. So that's the way that works. I don't do this show as Becky LePew to give you dating tips or anything. I'm not a dating machine, but I do notice that certain things in life do affect people, and I think it's important that I am able to help you along, because I have no purpose in this life. I, as I said at the beginning of the show, I'm just killing time here. But I do have a purpose, and that's in just like helping you along. And here's another thing that I do. We have a horoscope guy, Kip Starchild, and once a month we bring him here in order to take a look at your future. And this guy is so on the mark, it's unbelievable.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's take a look and see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, the stars say you'll soon find happiness and prosperity. But then I think I hear them giggling to each other, so maybe take that with a grain of organic fair trade salt. Pisces, your beautifully focused pursuit of meaning will soon lead you to a box of toaster pastries. Don't read too much into it, just enjoy some delicious toaster pastries. Aries, unfriend everyone on social media and start again. Choose better this time. Taurus, stop relying on WebMD and get that thing checked out already. People are starting to talk. Gemini, you will soon face a fork in your career path. It'll be the fast food industry or amateur bondage porn, so choose wisely. Cancer, when Mercury goes retrograde and Pluto is ascendant in the house of Cassiopeia, make yourself a sandwich. It will be amazing. Leo, call your mom soon for interesting news. And by mom, I mean the real one. In prison. Virgo, you will soon win a very prestigious award. But beware, your acceptance speech will be interrupted by Kanye West. Do us all a favor and punch him right in the sack, okay? Douchebag. Libra, your lucky number is 26, and your lucky color is blue. Look for instances where they appear together, especially on Tuesdays. This could help cure you of your extreme gullibility. Scorpio, it's time to stop eating things on a dare. Capricorn, now that gay marriage has been legalized, perhaps it's time to take a really close look at exactly why you love musical theater so very much. Maybe? Think about it. This is Kip Starchild, and that is your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Until next time, peace.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
You know, the opposite to that is if a woman ever turns to you as she's getting dressed and says, how do I look? Do you think I've lost weight? If you don't know the answer to that question immediately, something wrong with you. Just agree with everything. Everything you hear, just agree to it. And that's what guys do. No matter what anybody says to them, you just go, yeah, absolutely right. There's no question about it. Yeah, you're right. I know. Hey, I've got one question for you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
You know, I understand necklaces really well. They adorn your neck. I don't know why, but they do. Back in the 60s and 70s, and a little bit into the 80s for those that just can't let go of fads, guys used to wear necklaces too. They used to wear chains around their neck. So necklaces are really big stuff. But I every once in a while, I wonder why a woman needs to wear a necklace around her ankle. And it's called an ankle bracelet, but it's really a necklace around your ankle. And I'm wondering, at what point in your life do you think that your ankles need to be adorned in jewelry? I don't understand. I don't understand it. It's great, I guess, but why don't women then put makeup on their feet? Maybe I'm giving them an idea. But if you're going to start wearing jewelry on your foot, then, the women paint their toenails. Guys don't do that. Guys get manicures sometimes every once in a while. Of course, it's clear unless you're goth. Guys will do that sometimes, but never on their feet because they don't wear open-toed shoes like that. They're wearing shoes that you... I went to New York City about 8 months ago, something like that, maybe 6 months ago, maybe 4 months ago. It could have been yesterday. Now I'm not even sure. And there, they actually have shoeshine places where business guys will walk to the shoeshine place, usually near subway entrances, and these guys will actually buff your shoes and make them nice and shiny. And I feel like going up to those guys and saying, "Excuse me, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why do you get an urge all of a sudden in the middle of the day that your shoes aren't shiny enough? Do you really? What's wrong with you?" I look at people's faces. I look at their zits and things like that, maybe their hair. I never look at their feet. Maybe I'm odd. I just never, ever, 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 ever notice anybody's feet. I just don't. And I don't think I've ever said to myself, "Oh my God, look at that person's feet. Oh my God, I can't stand it. I must look away. My God, you have ugly feet." You don't do that stuff. Why is there such an obsession with the feet? And there are guys, usually guys, who have foot fetishes. There are girls that have it too, I assume. I don't know. I don't do surveys on this. But I do know that a lot of guys have foot fetishes, because when I'm Googling anything, foot fetishes come up. Have you noticed no matter what you Google, I hate to say that word out loud, you will always get the sexy version of it. If you Google footwear, you will get maybe the first response or four responses down, sex with feet, foot fetishes. If you Google number two lead pencils, about three entries down will be sex with number two lead pencils and weird pictures of people doing weird things with number two pencils. No matter what you can conceive of or Google, there will be a sex version of it. I was speaking to a parent who was online. Their kid is going to school, and it's a Catholic school, and they're Googling for the school uniform. And they put in a school uniform. And the second entry, they tell me, was the sexy women wearing schoolgirl uniforms. And this lady went nuts. She said, "My God, I'm Googling schoolgirl uniforms, and I'm getting all these sex sites with schoolgirl uniforms on." And I said, "Yeah, you know, because that's what we do. That's what we do. That's the wonderment of the Google." And that's what I'm not wearing.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
It's a sick, sick world, ladies. It's a sick world.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
It's a sick world. It's a sick world. We are living in a sick world. Got really got into conversation yesterday. The point was brought up that the United States of America, the greatest country in the world, although Trump doesn't think so, Trump thinks that we got to make it great again because it sucks right now. And a lot of people agree with him, which is great. We give money to everybody else but us. We give money to countries that declare that they will destroy us, that we will be wiped off the face of the earth, but thank you for your check. We give money to everybody. We buy our way, not you and me, our government, buys their way into other countries. We are in the country sex slave business. If we want to have some control or power over a certain country, we will give it money. It's basically the global mafia that we are creating here. We know that you're out to destroy us, but hey, if you bring those oil prices down, there's some money in it for you. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know. We're like, I don't know. I think we're the world financial bullies. And it's really sad. I mean, most of the wars, we are funding our enemies or have funded them at a particular juncture. And the way we punish them is we don't give them money anymore. First, we set up the basis that we will give every country some money, some foreign aid, something, and then we punish them by cutting them off. It's sort of like your parents with your allowance. Well, we're going to set this up now. We're going to give you $10 a week. That's your allowance. We're going to give you $10 a week. And if you do something wrong, we're going to punish you, and you're not going to get your allowance. Oh no, that's the way we deal with the world. If you do something bad, I'm afraid we're going to have to put some sanctions on you. You see, you can't punish somebody if you aren't already giving them something. You have to punish them. You have to stop giving them that. You know, you don't have control over something unless you're already vested in it. So that's how we run the place. A lot of people don't know that. Most people do. A lot of people don't. Some people do. Some people don't.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
I am so scared as shit of Facebook. Facebook is bigger than I am, bigger than I'll ever be, and it's intimidating. And Facebook is its own country because it intimidates me. I believe that there are people dressed in all black who hang out in my driveway waiting for me to do something wrong on Facebook or to say something wrong. There's probably guys out there right now, because I'm even talking about Facebook, and they will threaten me and my family if I continue to talk about Facebook in a negative fashion, but I'm going to do it anyway. There's something seriously wrong with those people. I forget who runs Facebook. Is it Steve Gutenberg? Whatever. Some dorky guy who has a lot of money, and I don't know what he does with it. Yesterday, I have four Facebook pages because I keep screwing them up, and then I start a new one because I don't understand what I did with the first one. Now I have four of them. And by the way, join me. You can do any one of the four Facebook pages. They're not intertwined. I'm just an asshole, and I don't know how to get rid of them. What you do is, there's like hundreds on every one of them. If they could all just get together, it'd be nice. One big nice Facebook account, but I don't do that. I don't, because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sorry, but I don't. When I was like 10 years old, it took me like 5 years to figure out how to dial a phone. So I'm not great at this kind of stuff, really. So I'm on one of my face. It's just go to Ron Van Dam Facebook and join one of those things, if you would, please. So I'm on one of the Facebook pages, and I'm looking at the. Not the profile. There's a picture of me on all the Facebook things, and then there's a big, like, elongated picture behind that. I don't know what it's called. I would call it the header photo, but I don't know what it is. So as I do radio broadcasting and do radio stuff, there was a picture of an audio board, and it just looked kind of like, you know, mundane. So I got this elongated picture of microphones, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool looking, and that's actually from one of the broadcast studios that I worked at. So I decided, put that on the Facebook page in the background, because that's kind of a cool background. And I did it, and within about 2 minutes, to all the thousands of, you know, Facebook people that I'm apparently friends with, although I know none of them. I'm friends with them. I have over 1,000 friends, but I don't know them. I have no idea. I don't even know where they live. Most of them don't speak English. Half of them are named Consuelo, and I don't know what the hell they're talking about. But they're my friends. I mean, if you say anything bad about Consuelo, who lives in some godforsaken country somewhere, hey, that's my friend. You don't talk to my friend like that. I don't even know her last name. She could be trafficking drugs for all I know, but she's one of my friends. She's one of my Facebook friends. I've known her for at least 3 hours, and we're friends. We're friends. I don't know what she sounds like and what she looks like, because she doesn't even have a profile picture. She just has like a silhouette. But she's my friend, and she's got my back. She'll do anything for me, and I'll do anything for Consuelo, although I have no idea who she is. But she's my friend, and that's why I'm a friend. I will protect them to the end. I will throw my body down in front of her so she can exist, because she's my close friend, Consuelo. Anyway, within a few minutes, everybody who is my Facebook friend has been notified in capital letters with exclamation points, Ron has changed his cover photo, profile photo, I don't know what you call it, but everybody is now alerted that I have changed the background picture from an audio board to headsets and microphones. Oh my God, breaking news, Amber Alert, Ron has changed his profile picture. And it's like, what? It's, you know, why don't you just Facebook everybody and tell the, oh, Ron picked his nose half an hour ago and removed a medium size booger, everybody. Oh my God. I mean, am I going to turn on CNN and Wolf Blitzer at the top of the hour? You know, the ISIS has beheaded 25 people, and Mount Vesuvius is blown up, thousands of people die. But now our top story, Ron has changed his Facebook profile photo. Oh no. You're kidding me. Ron changed it. Oh, my God. Tell everybody. What is with that, man? Why does Facebook automatically do that? I don't think I can change my photo without that happening. I expect to be getting cards in the mail tomorrow. Ron, so sorry to hear that you changed your Facebook photo. I'm so sorry. I support you in everything you do. I hope you'll be okay. What was wrong with the other photo? Was it bad? Did it bother you? Did it wear out its welcome? Why did you change your Facebook photo, Ron? Why? I need to do an in-depth interview with you as to why you changed your Facebook photo. The whole world knows now. I didn't care when I was doing it. But Facebook apparently considers this to be, even if it's my birthday, they don't go to this extent. It's Ron's birthday today. But he changed his Facebook photo. Oh my God, he changed his Facebook photo. It's kind of sick in a way. It's the big deal. What is this blast that goes to everybody that Ron changed Facebook photo? Sick is what it is. And see, that's what scares me about Facebook. I can't turn left, I can't turn right without Facebook telling everybody what I just did. And I didn't post that. I thought you had to do a little thing that said, okay, now I'm posting it and you can tell everybody I changed my Facebook photo. I didn't have an option for that. I changed a picture. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm bigger than the Kardashians. I don't understand it.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
You know what? mentally me too. I think the reason that Facebook is so popular is because we have a great hunger in this tumultuous world that we live in. And by the way, no matter what period of time you live in, it's always tumultuous at that time. It's also, things are horrible in the world, in the globe. Things are horrible. They're always horrible. You can say that at any point in history. This is horrible. The Vikings are coming. The Vikings, the Vikings just got off their boat. It's the worst time ever in history. The Vikings are coming. And they've changed their Facebook photo. So it's just the worst time ever. I think the reason we're so embaked into Facebook is because it really makes us feel like somebody if we have a lot of Facebook friends. Some people have a lot of friends. Most people have maybe like two or three friends and the rest of them not. I don't know if I've even worked up to two yet. But this is a way of making somebody feel like they are accepted by masses of people, and they are all my friends. They're all my friends, my own friends. I think that's what we just want. We want friends. We want friends. We want to feel loved. That's all we want. That's all we want. That's the whole deal. I don't care who you are. Do you like me? Do you like me? Will you like me on Facebook? Do you like me? Will you say that you like me? Will you like me? Will you like my post? Just tell me that you like it. That's all I want to know. Do you like it? Do you like me? Do you want to be my friend?
Stand on my feet.
Take a look, take yourself in the mirror and cry.
What about you, Danny? I spent all my years in believing you, but I just can't
get no relief. Lord,
somebody, can anybody find me? Every day of my life, I work till I ache my bones. At the end
of the day,
I take home my halfpay.
Goes on all day
long. Tired out, my knees not straight away. Till the tears run down from my eyes.
Lord,
somebody,
please, anybody find me.
Put me down, they say I'm gone crazy. That's right, all the water in my brain. I got no common sense, he's got nobody left to me.
We're all looking for it. That's why I have four Facebook pages. No, it's not because I don't know how to do it. It's because I'm just looking for acceptance. I want people to like me. Sometimes I'll go to a mall and I'll just stand in the middle and say, "Do you like me?" And nobody ever does. They threaten to call mall security, is what they do. Anyway. Well, thank God for Facebook. And then you can tweet people, too. Yeah, but you have to use, 140 letters or less? Is that what it is? or something like that. It's like a teacher in school tells you, all right, we're doing an essay, and the essay has to be 140 letters or less. Oh, God. I mean, some people's names, cab drivers, their names are 140 letters or more. So I don't know how they can even go to school, and most of them don't. So I want a name with no vowels in it whatsoever. I think that would be kind of fun. I want to drive a cab or an Uber or whatever you call those things. And I want to have my name on the dashboard with no vowels in it whatsoever. And just get them in the cab and saying, look, I'll take $2 off the fare if you can pronounce my name. And none of them will be able to because you need vowels to do that. This language, in this English language, you need vowels. You cannot exist without vowels. It's like playing some type of pathetic Scrabble game. You can't do it. So I would love to do that. I would love to drive a cab. Besides, I need a car. So, you know, yeah. I mean, what if you actually work for a taxi company, a cab company, or an Uber company, and you don't ever pick anybody up, but you get yourself a car really cheap? I don't know. I don't know how that works. I've been in cabs before, which is very interesting, because if my friend, and I say my friend because I only have one, if my friend were driving me somewhere and I was sitting in the back of the car and he was sitting up front driving the car and he was weaving inside in and out of traffic at like 60 miles an hour and like knocking people down and hitting the curb and missing other cars by like centimeters, inches, whatever metric system we're talking about. I'd be white knuckling. I'd be going, stop it. Stop it. What's the matter with you? Will you stop it? Get it. Let me out of the car. Stop it. I would be going crazy. I would say, what's wrong with you? Why are you driving like this? Oh my God, we're going to get killed. But yet when a cab driver in New York City, for example, is driving you around and driving just like that, you sit in the back of the cab and you go, yeah, nice day out today. Yeah. Well, look at all those people diving toward the sidewalk. What interesting stuff goes on. Oh, this is relaxing. Why do you trust people who don't have any vowels in their name? Those would be the first people that I'd say, unless you have a vowel in your name, let me out of the car, man. There's this blind trust that we have. Speaking of blind trust, do you like to cook with your kids? What you do is you boil water and you dip your kids into the water. Oh, that's something else. That's cannibalism. That's different. No, cooking with kids is not cooking the kids. It's cooking stuff with the kids. And it's important to do that. I love to cook, as you probably know if you listen to the show, but you probably don't because you got better things to do. I get it. But seriously, I like to cook. I love to cook. I cook every day. I'm a cooker. And my parents didn't teach me how to cook. I cook because it's a creative thing to do. But I understand that if you get your kids involved in cooking, then you will never you'll never have kids say, I don't know how to cook. Involve your kids in cooking. Boil water and do stuff with the boiling water with the kids. Let's speak to Jessica Fishman Levinson, who joins us now, and let's see what's happening here with her.
Hi, Ron.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We're speaking to dietitian Jessica Fishman Levinson, and we welcome her. We're talking about nutrition for the kids, and I understand that you are a mom yourself.
Yes, I am. I have twin girls who are 3.5 years old.
Oh, bonus. Fantastic. And I know that you have, we all have great concern about bringing our kids up with the mindset of eating healthy with nutrition and yet enjoying the food that you eat. And I know we're talking about kids, but I think we're also talking about adults. But we'll focus on the kids and make believe it's for everybody. So how do you do this? So you're busy, you're doing this, you're a dietitian, you speak, you're in the media and such. How do you manage to do this?
So, well, first of all, I just wanted to mention I'm here on behalf of the Corn Refiners Association, and I really believe in planning. That's one of the main things that keeps me focused on getting my kids fed healthy and keeping my house in order. So what I mean by that when it comes to food is planning a menu for the week. I every week write down what my menu for dinner is going to be, and then I make a grocery list to go with it so that I make sure that when I'm at the supermarket, I'm buying what I need for the meals that I'm making, the foods that my kids like but that I also as a mom want them to be eating, and then also making sure that I'm not having stuff that goes to waste, because the last thing I want to be doing is throwing out uneaten fruits and vegetables.
Well, that's the trick to it all, because if you go shopping for the week, you really have to know what you're doing, because otherwise, yeah, you do have waste. And that's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also then get tripped up in the supermarket and buy things that you probably don't need in your pantry.
Yeah, well, that's what we all do. And so how do you keep everything fresh when you're shopping like 5-6 days out?
So I will maybe go, you know, once or twice in the middle of the week to replenish produce.
Okay.
I'll do it, you know, but when I do my big food shop, I will buy the seasonal produce and look for things that are on sale.
Yep.
And then I'll also stock up. That's when I stock up on the things for my freezer and my pantry. And frozen fruit is a really good option. It's a great way to save money on produce that's out of season. And it's just as nutritious as the fresh fruit is.
Yeah, I'm told that frozen vegetables are sometimes fresher than fresh vegetables.
Well, depending on where your vegetables are coming from, that could be true, because when they freeze things, they pick it at the peak of ripeness, and then they freeze it usually within 24 hours, so it maintains all of those nutrients. Whereas if you're getting something from, you know, across the country, it could be traveling for some time, or it may have been picked before it was completely ripe.
Well, in certain supermarkets, you don't know if that produce has been sitting there for 2 weeks or what, or whether
it just came
in that morning, you don't know. Okay, so all right, here's a problem with kids, and a lot of adults too, is their friends are eating junk food, and they're saying, hey, look, they're eating junk food and I'm not. How do you train your kids to want to eat properly?
So I actually have dealt with this a lot over the summer now that my kids are a little bit older and exposed to other children at camp.
Yeah.
And the first thing, I mean, I started my kids eating healthy from day one as soon as they were able to eat table food. So it's really important to start your kids off right. And then also keep in mind that, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect all the time. It's about balance. It's about moderation. It's, you know, important that kids be kids and enjoy the special treats, especially, you know, this summer when there's ice cream and cookies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's okay to have all of that. But when you when you're at the table and you're the one providing the meals, make sure that it's a balanced plate so that they're getting their fruits and vegetables, they're getting whole grains, and that they're seeing you as a parent eating the same thing as you want them to be eating.
So you can have some junk food here and there, and I use the term junk food because it's junk, but in moderation here and there, your entire diet shouldn't be junk food.
Right, and I mean, I refer to it as fun foods or treats, and a lot of people, you know, their concern is the sugar. That's something we hear about all the time these days, and they think that some sources of sugar are worse than others, and really when it comes down to it, they're all nutritionally equivalent, whether it's high fructose corn syrup, whether it's table sugar, honey. They all react in the body the same way.
Yeah.
So the key is really focusing on the portion size and not necessarily the type of treat that you're providing for your kids.
Yeah. Hey, Jessica, here's a question I've always had. There's sugar in fruits, but is that indeed a different sugar? Is it processed differently than table sugar?
So your body reacts to it the same way, but it is naturally occurring sugar, so you're getting more nutritional benefits from it. But let's say, like, you have a yogurt, right, and a fruit-flavored yogurt.
Yeah.
Kids may take better to that than a plain yogurt because it has more flavor. And so I like to say pick your foods based on the company they keep. So if you're having something with sugar, you know, then you're getting the nutrients from the yogurt with it.
Yeah.
Or let's say, you know, pancakes with syrup, you're going to have the whole grains if you got whole grain pancakes. So this way you're getting a balance.
Yeah. I mean, if you have time, if you can invent yogurt that doesn't have a lot of sugar in it, I'd appreciate that. It's typically about 12, 16 grams of sugar in a little container. It'd be wonderful if you get it down to 4 or something. That would be great, but, you know, whatever, if you have time.
That will actually, I mean, unless there's some way that they can do that, that actually would not be possible because the 12 grams of sugar, if you look at a plain container of sugar, it's going to have about 12 grams of sugar because it's the natural lactose that's in milk.
Okay.
And that's the natural sugar. So, but again, like I said, the fruit flavor that has more sugar, it's better for your kids to be eating that than to not be getting the yogurt and the calcium and the vitamin D that's in that.
Okay, give me an example of a healthy snack that you can give your kids.
So I love pairing protein and healthy fats with fruits and vegetables because that really sustains them longer. So like I mentioned, yogurt with berries, you got the protein from the yogurt, and then you have your fruit. You're getting more nutrients from that.
Okay.
Hummus with sliced up carrots, celery sticks. Kids love to dip things, and so that's a really good snack option. Granola bars are easy and quick, and if you look for ones that have nuts in them, again, there you have the satiating factor from nuts.
Yeah, some of those protein bars are like candy bars. They're very tasty.
Yes. Well, some of those are protein bars. I wouldn't suggest for the kids looking for the protein bars. I would say go for more of the classic granola bar with the nuts and whole grains.
All right. Unless you're a bodybuilder at the age of 5 years old.
Right.
Okay. How can we get more information about this?
So if you go to sweetsurprise.com, there are back-to-school tips on their blog and grocery shopping tips there as well.
Excellent. Hey, thanks for the information. Maybe that'll make a change in people's lives and diets and lifestyles. Who knows?
I hope so. Thank you so much.
Take care, Jessica. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's cool. She's a cool woman. She's cool. She's cool. Thank you. Thank you for spending the time with me today, my little Facebook radio friend. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be with you next time. Please make me one of your habits. I should be the one habit you have that doesn't require intervention or going to a rehab facility or wearing a nicotine patch. Let's be our good habits together. Until then, I wish you peace.